This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled, Unmasking the Angels and Demons, Their Development Through the Bible. Provides a simplified overview of how the Bible and ancient Jewish literature portray angels and demons, tracing their development from the Old Testament through the New, and exploring how cultural influences shaped our understanding of the spiritual realm. Please note, for smoother listening, some elements such as headings, the appendix, and the full bibliography have been left out. To access those resources, I encourage you to read the full written version at defendtheword.com. A companion academic paper is also available for those who wish to explore the subject in greater depth. D. Gene Williams, Jr., Ph.D. Defend the Word Ministries North Point Church Introduction. Angels and demons have fascinated and perplexed people for centuries, playing significant roles in the Bible and shaping our understanding of the spiritual realm. But how did these beings come to be understood as they are today? This paper explores how the Bible portrays angels and demons, tracing their development from the Hebrew Bible to the New Testament. By expanding on key theological ideas and cultural influences, this study aims to provide a clearer understanding of their roles in God's unfolding plan. Angels and demons in the Hebrew Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, angels serve primarily as messengers and agents of God's will. They appear to guide, protect, and deliver messages. For example, an angel stops Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, while another protects Israel by striking down the Assyrian army. These accounts highlight angels as servants of God, carrying out his purposes on earth. Demons, on the other hand, receive far less attention in the Hebrew Bible. The term shedim appears in Deuteronomy 32 verse 17 and Psalm 106 verse 37, describing beings associated with idolatry. Unlike their more developed New Testament counterparts, demons in the Hebrew Bible are not portrayed as agents of chaos or personal torment, but as spiritual entities tied to false worship and moral corruption. The another enigmatic group appear in texts like Genesis 6 verses 1 and 4, Job 1 verse 6, and Psalm 82. These beings are described as part of God's divine council, a heavenly assembly over which Yahweh presides. In Genesis 6, they take human wives, producing the Nephilim, a race of giants, and leading to God's judgment through the flood. This brief account provides a foundation for later Jewish writings that expand on the spiritual rebellion behind these actions. Second Temple developments. During the Second Temple period, Jewish thought about angels and demons expanded significantly. Texts like 1 Enoch and Jubilees offer detailed depictions of these beings, introducing hierarchies of angels such as archangels and watchers. Michael and Gabriel, for instance, are portrayed as protectors and messengers. Michael defends Israel against cosmic adversaries, while Gabriel delivers divine messages. Demons also gain a more defined role in this period. According to 1 Enoch 15:8-11, demons are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, roaming the earth to torment humanity. Similarly, Jubilees 10:1-14 describes Noah praying for protection from these spirits, leading to the binding of many demons while allowing others to remain as tests for humanity. This period's writings also introduce figures like Mestima, a chief adversary who parallels the developing concept of Satan. Cultural influences further shaped these developments. Persian dualism introduced the idea of a cosmic struggle between good and evil forces, while Greek cosmology provided hierarchical language to describe the spiritual realm. These influences contributed to a dualistic framework where angels represented divine goodness and demons embodied rebellion and chaos. The role of the Septuagint. The Septuagint, a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures, played a crucial role in shaping Jewish and early Christian thought. Translated during the Second Temple period, the Septuagint aligned Hebrew terms for spiritual beings like shedim with Greek equivalents such as daimonia. This terminology influenced how demons were understood in the New Testament. The Septuagint also prepared the world for the spread of the gospel. As Greek became the lingua franca of the ancient world, the LXX enabled New Testament authors to communicate theological truths to a diverse audience. Of the 418 Old Testament quotations in the New Testament, approximately 340 align more closely with the Septuagint than with the Hebrew Masoretic text. This providential timing demonstrates God's preparation for the gospel's spread through Greek-speaking communities. Angels and demons in the New Testament. The New Testament builds upon Second Temple traditions to present a cohesive theology of angels and demons. Angels are depicted as holy, good, faithful servants of God, while demons are consistently malevolent spirits actively opposing his kingdom. For example, Jesus confronts demons throughout his ministry, demonstrating his authority over them. Paul also warns against idolatry, linking it to demonic activity. Paul's theology reflects the divine council worldview where spiritual beings oversee nations but become corrupt, leading their peoples into idolatry. This idea, rooted in Deuteronomy 32 verses 8 and 9, underscores Paul's warning that idolatry is not merely false worship but participation in spiritual rebellion against God. The New Testament's clarity on the roles of angels and demons highlights the ultimate triumph of God over evil, a theme central to Christian eschatology. Angels minister to God's people, while demons face judgment alongside Satan, their leader. On the veneration of icons, this raises the question of whether Christian veneration of icons could dangerously approach the practices Paul critiques. In traditions like Eastern Orthodoxy, a distinction is made between veneration and worship. Icons are not viewed as divine in themselves but as sacred art pointing to God, Christ, or the saints. The Second Council of Nicaea affirmed this practice, stating, "However, the line between veneration and worship can blur. Excessive reverence or belief in the miraculous properties of icons could inadvertently approach the idolatry Paul critiques." believers must remain vigilant, ensuring that practices meant to honor God do not elevate objects to a place of undue spiritual significance. Conclusion: the Bible's portrayal of angels and demons reflects centuries of theological development and cultural interaction. From the Hebrew Bible's foundational depictions to the New Testament's dualistic framework, these spiritual beings play vital roles in God's story. The Septuagint and Second Temple literature served as bridges, shaping Jewish and Christian understandings of the spiritual realm. By recognizing the historical and theological context behind these developments, modern readers can engage Scripture more thoughtfully, avoiding anachronistic interpretations. Ultimately, the Bible's message is clear: God reigns supreme, His angels serve faithfully, and His victory over evil is assured.